Okay, let's go ahead and come back together. Today is a little bit different of a day, so if you're visiting or haven't been here with us for a year, this is our annual missions conference, and we spend at least one Sunday making sure that we focus on missions from various aspects. So we've had, over the last decade and a half, different emphases, different styles of weekends, different things that we've done during the week. And we want to, as much as possible, not just do this so that we get our missions quota in for the year, but so that we can have a focused time reconnecting or connecting you with our missionaries as well. I did want to read, one of our missionaries could not get her video to work, and so she sent a letter. So I'm going to read this one from Lynn Hawkins, who is one of our longtime supportive missionaries, and give just a little update on how she's doing up in Idaho. So she said, "My name is Lynn Hawkins. I served with Evangelical Alliance Mission from 1967 to 2007 in Zimbabwe. I am now living in the Rocky Mountains outside of the little town of Weapi. There are not too many opportunities to serve the Lord up here, but I do have the opportunity to speak to the cadets at the Idaho Youth Challenge Academy two or three times each intake. The last time I spoke to them was Easter Sunday, telling them of the true meaning of Easter and what Jesus Christ has done for them and what God wants to do for them. The next time I will speak to them is in June. There are two intakes each year. Another way of serving the Lord is to help in teaching Bible studies to the women up here. In one of the Bible studies, we are studying the prophecies of Ruth, which is a very interesting study of all the different prophetical meanings of the book of Ruth. Thank you all for your many years of supporting me both financially and in so many other ways, showing your love and support. Over the years, you at Village Bible Church have done so much for me. I appreciate the cards you send with messages from so many of you. Thank you." It's good to hear that. It's a reminder of what those little cards can do. And wanted to read that. I also have the opportunity right now to correct a mistake that I made several weeks ago in talking about how long this church has been doing this and supporting missions and missionaries. I said there's no one in this church that's been here since the start. And I was corrected, wasn't I, Kathleen? Now, I heard that Kathleen was 6 months old at the start just a few years ago. And so Kathleen has been here since the beginning. And that just goes to show you that we do stand on the shoulders of others who have gone before us, who set the culture, who wrote the Constitution, who set up patterns and systems and things that we have carried on, hopefully, in doing. We have heard from our missionaries that not very many churches do this anymore. And part of that is for a lot of the work that it is for the few. And so I wanted to make sure that as we started today to thank our missions team for the work that they have put in planning and getting here early today and implementing these things. And so I wanted to make sure that, oh, guys, help me. Linda Coxon, Brian Diaz, Jessica Heinrichs, you guys are all like right here. Heather Plotz and Jeff and Andrea Clendenning are our missions team. And they put in a lot. Thank you for that golf clap, Patrick. That was very good. Yes. Yeah. we meet monthly and meet a lot over the interwebs and all those things, trying to make sure our missionaries are connected with and feel loved. And so if you would like to serve on that team, why don't you come talk to one of us and figure out what it's all about? And we might consider adding to that team, especially since we're losing another one. So that's my way of introducing, not really a sermon today. Some of you opened your worship folder and you're like, "Oh, did my notes drop out?" And the joke's on you. There are no notes. because I'm not really preaching a sermon today, but I do want to emphasize some things and especially talk about the theme of our conference this year, which is Hold the Rope. We hope that it's an image that stays with you. If you've grown up in the church, you might have heard this phrase before. In regards to missions. I'm going to kind of give you the background of that and then really try to make sure that we understand the picture, the metaphor, the analogy, so that we actually can do what we're called to do here. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, the very end of Matthew's gospel. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20. This is commonly known as the Great Commission, the Great Commission, commissioning those to go. And this will play into the story of William Carey, who is our main focus today as far as biography and example and the one who coined the phrase. Matthew 28, verse 18, we're going to read 18, 19, and 20. So if you're in the Gospel of Matthew, please follow along. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray for our time together today. Lord, we pray that you would be in all of this. Lord, that we would not attempt any of this learning, teaching, praying today without your Spirit, who you've given to us as a gift, so that we might live holy lives. And in that holiness, Lord, that we would seek to share with others who do not know about the Savior, who can forgive their sins and give them eternal life. Lord, we thank you for how you provided for us. We pray, Lord, that we would not overlook this opportunity that you've given to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is that great commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew that we go back to again and again and again. And it is important to go back to it again and again and again, because sometimes we get just kind of immune to it. We've heard it, yeah, before. We kind of know that stuff. Teach me something new and different. And really what I would commend us to do is to really think about what is being said here in the Great Commission. You see, in the late 1700s, a man named William Carey in England was feeling called by the scriptures and by God himself through the scriptures to consider these very words. And he was a part of a Baptist congregation, a Baptist fellowship, that had begun to downplay the Great Commission as a calling for all Christians. There were some interpreters of the Bible in the late 1700s that said the Great Commission was only for the apostles. It was only for the 12, or to a greater degree, those that might have been there along with the 12. And William Carey was convinced this was not right. And as he became a Christian in his late teens, led to Christ by a co-worker. He was a cobbler, a shoemaker. As he was led to Christ, he began to read the scriptures. And he began to be convinced that there was stuff in there that was for him. It wasn't just a historical document of some obscure things that happened years ago, but there was something in there for him. And so he began to make friends with other believers in the area. He grew up in the Anglican church. But he was never really overcome by a need to change anything in his life until he began to hear from this coworker who was part of a nonconformist church. That means not one of the state churches. And so he was converted, and he began to use what skills he had, what opportunities he had. And slowly but surely, as he put those together, he began to read the scriptures, understand the scriptures, and began to even preach at nearby churches that needed pulpit supply. Eventually, he became convinced that believer's baptism was biblical, not infant baptism. And he was very much influenced by the greatest theologian of the time, a man named Andrew Fuller. And Andrew Fuller became a personal friend later on, and very important to this story. But Andrew Fuller was not one of those theologians that is up in an ivory tower writing with really big words that no one can understand. He was a practitioner. He was one who wanted to see what the scripture said and immediately understand what that meant for real life. He was a man of high learning, and yet he was able to translate that for the common man and say things about the scriptures in ways that everyone could understand and be convinced needed to be put into practice. It's not just God's word that we need to observe, as in like seeing it, but we need to really observe it in obeying the scriptures. And so William Carey continued to think this way. And as he began to pray and as he began to meet more people, he began to consider what the scripture said about far-off lands. At the time, in the late 1700s, really the concentration of Christianity in the world was in Britain. was in this part of the world. And so William Carey began to be confused about why there was so little attention paid to the newly discovered lands around the world that had opened up in the past 100 years. As he began to think about this, he also ran into what I told you about this teaching that the Great Commission was only for the apostles and their immediate followers. Some had also argued that the gospel had already reached the ends of the earth. Here's what he said. He said, if the command to disciple all nations has expired, has the command to baptize also expired? That is included in the Great Commission? What about the command to teach all those who are baptized to observe all that Jesus taught? Has that expired? If it was only the apostles, then is trying to reach other nations forbidden? Are we violating something by attempting to do something that God hasn't explicitly commanded us to do, if this interpretation was correct? Could people do it but go without God's particular blessing? What would happen to those who were converted in these lands that were reached by people that had violated God's commandment to go to them? He began to follow this course of logic. He said, what about Jesus' promise in verse 20? And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The disciples did not live to the end of the age. And it seemed that they, the apostles themselves, as you can see in Scripture, also encouraged others to go and do likewise. Paul wrote the book of Romans, like we've said in the last few weeks, as kind of a support letter to the church in Rome, saying, I'm this guy who's learned these things, who believes these things. You believe the same things. I'm trying to go to Spain. Send me on my way. And bringing all kinds of people with him and training them as well. And then William Carey made this, and I think probably the most devastating argument. He said, if the great trade companies of the world, the East India Company, the Dutch East India Company, the British going to the various parts around the world, he said, if the trade companies could go to the end of the earth for profit, couldn't we go to the end of the earth for eternal profit? And he went to Matthew chapter 16, which you may be familiar with. And Jesus is talking about what really matters in life. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 16:24, then Jesus told the disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And here is what Jesus was prepared to teach. Verse 27, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. William Carey read that, and he thought, if great profit could be made by going to the Indies, by going to India, by going to China, by exerting all this effort and finances just to go get some of these exotic things to eat back in Britain, could we not go with them with the same kind of ambition, but for a different end, and reach those who had never heard? Could we not expend ourselves for those who've never heard this good news, rather than possibly exploiting those people for profit? Could we not go to them and share with them something that would lead to eternal profit? And so, William Carey wrote this book, which I have, the copyright's, well past, so anybody can publish it. He wrote this book in 1792 with the simple title of An Inquiry into the Obligation of Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen, in which the religious state of the different nations of the world, the success of former undertakings, and the practicability of further undertakings are considered. They don't name books the way they used to, do they? In this book, which is, in my copy, it's only 63 pages long. In this book, he does some remarkable things, but he's just laying out his case for going to the ends of the earth. In the inquiry, he says this about prayer, because he began to pray about this. Should we pray for gospel advance to the ends of the earth? Yes, of course. We must not be contented, however, with praying without exerting ourselves in the use of means for the obtaining of those things we pray for. He says, if we're going to pray for something, we should find ways to work to do it. Right? This is like, you don't just pray, Lord, help me pass my driver's test. Here we go, right? You say, Lord, I'm going to study for my driver's test. Help me pass my driver's test, right? It's finding means to the answers of the prayers that you're looking for. Sometimes we pray outrageous prayers, right, that we have no way of answering. But oftentimes, we can be the answer to our own prayers. Lord, please comfort that family in need. But don't use me to do it. Let someone else do it or some miraculous thing appear. What if I'm the means? He says this, were the children of light but as wise in their generation as the children of this world, they would stretch every nerve to gain so glorious a prize, nor ever imagine that it was to be obtained in any other way. He said to strenuously give yourself for the prize of Jesus is worth every strain. In the inquiry, he says there's five impediments to going. Here are the impediments to going. Here's what's going to get in the way of somebody actually doing this. One is distance, and he erases that one immediately, saying all the great ships that we've now been able to build that can cross seas and go across the earth, there's nothing stopping us anymore. I know someone who got on an airplane this morning, and what time is it? Can't even see the clock. It is almost across our country. If those impediments were still maybe a little bit there with sea voyages, they're gone now. We can get anywhere in the world. The second impediment with his language was barbarous and savage manner of living of the people they were trying to reach. And he said, of course this would be the case. This is just like the people we read about in the Old and New Testaments. They're distant from God. And so in order to find ways to God, they resort to often barbarous and savage manners of living. Just like the Israelites gave themselves up to in the Old Testament. He said another impediment was the danger of being killed. And he basically says, so? I summarize that argument for you. But he basically says, so? That's what it means to give your life. That's what it means to come to serve, not to be served. The fourth impediment is the difficult procuring the necessaries of life. And he questions, what are the actual necessaries of life? What are the bare necessities? What would it take to go somewhere and have to live maybe in an inconvenient manner to the way that you've been used to? The fifth impediment was the unintelligibleness of their languages. And here again, he returns to the trade companies. The trade companies brought linguists and specialists so they could speak the other people's language so they could do trade and make a profit. He said, if that's enough of a reason to learn a language, to build a bridge, then we have a better reason to share the word of God, the word made flesh. And so to make a long story short, he and a small group of other people who didn't really have a lot of backing of their churches came together and created the Particular Baptist Society for Propagating the Gospel Amongst the Heathen, which they wisely changed the next year into the Baptist Missionary Society. And here's what they did. They took the Bible seriously and they began to read and consider what was going on around the world. They read reports from these trade companies. They read reports of the explorers who had gone other places. There were missionaries before this, but nothing that was kind of a missions movement. And so they began to read of some of the Moravian missionaries that had gone to various places, of John Calvin's missionaries who had gone to Brazil, of some of the missionaries who had gone to what would become Canada and Greenland. And they began to read these things. And also they read about what the Catholic Church had done while disagreeing with lots of the methods and the theology, but looking at how the Catholic Church had sent priests over the seas. And they began to pray, and they began to strategize, and they began to fundraise. And if you read the story, which, by the way, you have the opportunity to go look at all of our resources in the second hour. We'll talk about that. We have a bunch of great books on William Carey in our library that will be open today in the second hour. And if you want to, I've got several that you could borrow. But they began to fundraise. I mean, it was a pittance. I mean, their fundraising efforts were lousy at first. And yet they didn't give up. They kept going. They kept pushing through. And before I finish this, I want you to think about the difficulties. I said those impediments are real. Right? Jesus told the rich young ruler, what do you lack? Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and come follow me. And the ruler was like, yeah, they're just stuff. Okay. Is that what he said? No, he went away sad because he had many possessions. He wasn't willing to give them up. Our missionaries, in ways similar to us, and possibly in some ways dissimilar to us, get discouraged. And they have things come up in their lives that are harder to deal with sometimes because they're away from family. They're away from the way of life that they've known. Perhaps they're in a place where they can't just go work more hours to make more money. They're living on other people's generosity. And so we asked our missionaries for some stories of how God has provided through his church over the years. And I want you to hear some of those stories. So we're going to put those up on the screen now. And then I'm going to read one to you as well from some who couldn't put a video together.
So, Selvin and I have thought about a time of struggle in our years being missionaries. Two situations of medical emergency came to mind. When David was about 6, he needed a cyst removed from his neck, and our pediatrician had lost a son to cancer, so he was very adamant that we get it checked, get that taken out. And a donor sent money to cover that surgery. And then years ago, in about 2017 or so, I broke my elbow, and I needed bone insert and a titanium plate and many things, and it was 40,000 quetzales, which in the States was about $5,000, and God's people came together and gave. In fact, Village and other donors gave not only to cover the hospital and the surgeon's expense, but it was enough for me to go to 10 sessions of physical therapy, and we're truly thankful that in a time of crisis, we could call on the body of Christ to step in and help us. Thank you for being there for us when we need it.
Our family of 4 relocated from Manaus to Belém, Brazil, at the mouth of the Amazon, and very conveniently moved into a nice wooden, simple house, screen windows, and just ideal for us, 3-bedroom, and on our Wycliffe Center, and right next door to the office where I was going to work most of the time. But it was for sale. The man that built it needed the money, but we didn't have the money to buy it. Then we were offered a 5-year loan. Well, we wondered how we'd pay it off, but in 2.5 years, we paid the last payment on it with a special offering from Village Bible Church. Thank you so much, and praise the Lord.
Pastor Andrew had asked for us to share a time of struggle or a deep need and how God used his people to encourage and fill that need. I think that for us, the whole events of us coming back to the States from July 2021 up through now has been that time of struggle for us and that time of deep need. There have been many times throughout the past few years that God has used his people to encourage us and fill that need. We moved back with suitcases, thinking that we would be returning to Spain in a year. The kids had to say goodbye to their cat, all their friends, all their toys. We left our entire life behind. We had nothing. My parents opened their home to us, and we've lived with them. A member of Village Bible Church essentially gave us their van for the cost of the title transfer. We've been welcomed into Bible studies and kids groups, both here at Village and at other churches that have been really supportive as well. We were broken and hurting and a mess, and we had no idea what was going on. But God's people showed love in both big and small ways, and we were not alone in our struggle. Our friends and church family in Spain have shown up for us and supported us as well. It's been really hard, but God's worldwide family is a great thing to be a part of. And we are so thankful for the way that he has encouraged us.
Hey, Esther. Do you remember a time that was especially difficult?
Like all of 2023?
What exactly happened in 2023?
Well, remember every single time we had a speaking engagement, or there was some really important retreat or conference coming up.
Oh yeah, I was bedridden, right?
Yeah, you just got so sick every single time. You were barely functioning.
Was it a coincidence, you think?
No, I think after it happened over and over again, we just thought, man, this must be a spiritual attack, because every time something important in Dad's work is about to happen or going on, you would barely be functioning. But this year, we thought, you know what? We need to be really intentional about asking for prayer. So before every single ministry opportunity, we actually asked for a prayer from our clubs, friends back home, and from like-minded friends here. And is it amazing that in the past 4 months, I can't remember you being sick. And
yeah, praise God.
You went to another city for a week for ministry. We had other speaking engagements and other responsibilities, but you've been healthy. And I really think it's the prayers of our friends and our family. Yeah, so we really thank you, VBC, for being so faithful in prayer, because when we ask for prayer, we know you guys are praying for us, and we see the difference in the spiritual realm and in our day-to-day lives here. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, VBC.
So we want to share time, and for us was a recently time of difficulty. You all know, and we know that you were praying for us, that we had Timoteo right here before the time he was expected to born. So he born with 7 months, and in that time we had to be in the private hospital. And because it was there, and because the public system, it's not working well in Portugal, we needed help from you guys and from several other people that are praying for us or were praying for us to keep Timoteo in that hospital and to have the best treatment for him to grow. So this happened in December last year, and thanks to God, he was there for almost 3 weeks at the hospital. He also was moved to a public hospital later, but thank to you guys, we could have all the resources to do this.
Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful to know. I was first in the hospital a few days before he was born. And it was just wonderful to see the church family come together and make meals for the girls. People would come over and watch the girls so Mario could come to the hospital. Sometimes you have to let people help you in areas that you didn't really want them to help, cleaning your home or doing your laundry for you. And it's just good to be able to have a family that will look after you. And to see this as the Lord taking care of your family, watching over you, it's not just food and not just cleaning service, but it really is a family hugging you from the Lord. Yeah.
So we want to thank you so much also for your prayers. We know that this the way that God sustained us and during that time was because of your prayers and God's people that know us around the world, and also the way God used your lives to provide for us during that time, for Lancy and Timoteo to be well treated at the hospital. So we thank you so much for that too. You guys have as a team to grab the rope as we are serving the Lord and sometimes facing these difficulties. Thank you
guys.
Hello, Village Bible Church. I want to share with you a need that Greta and I experienced while we were preparing to get married, rejoin MAF as a couple, and move overseas. Before we met, Greta had been living with depression for a number of years, and this seemed like it would be a big obstacle to us moving to Indonesia.
I remember thinking it seemed crazy that God would call me to a place that would present even more challenges mentally.
We were looking for a solution, but we were having trouble finding a therapist who could work with us while we were overseas. Mm-hmm. One of my longtime supporters mentioned that they had a family connection and offered to find us a therapist and cover the cost of those sessions.
Through this past year, I've worked with therapists that they'd run for me and seen tremendous growth and healing in a place that didn't seem possible.
God met our need through his people. And he continues to meet all of our needs through people like you. We are so grateful for each of you and for the support of this church. Thank you so much.
There's just several more examples. From our missionaries in South Asia, Ben and Kimberly, they shared this. In 2017, we had been on the field for 4 years and were at a very low point. We were struggling for a variety of reasons. For very significant reasons, we had just parted ways with a missions organization we had been serving with and cut ties with the people we thought we were going to be our partners. We were deeply hurt and discouraged. We had just started our ministry in the village region where we still live and work, but it was a daunting task. We wanted to purchase land and build a building for a training center, but we did not have the funds and it just didn't seem possible. We had a furlough scheduled for the summer of 2017 and we were seriously discussing not coming back to South Asia. A few weeks before we were scheduled to leave for the States, Ben got a call from the director of another ministry here. It was someone we were acquainted with but did not know too well, though we did have some friends in that organization. The man asked if Ben could meet with him at his office. His name was Jack. Ben went to the meeting not knowing why Jack would want to talk with him. Jack sat Ben down and told him that their organization had been watching us and the small ministry we were trying to get off the ground. They were impressed by our faithfulness and our commitment to working with a local church to train up leaders. They wanted to encourage us in the work we were starting. That day, Jack told Ben the organization was giving us a substantial grant. As it turned out, it was almost exactly the amount we needed to purchase the land, renovate some of the older buildings, and build the building we use as our training center. Ben came home from the meeting and said, "I guess we aren't supposed to leave." We were overwhelmed by the way God used other people, people who barely knew us, to come alongside us and say, "You are doing it right. Keep going." It turned out we just needed that little encouragement to continue to be faithful. But those are just some stories from our missionaries that help us understand what it means to hold the rope. And now that we get to this point, this is what happened in the story of William Carey and Andrew Fuller. As they were praying and strategizing and fundraising, they had a very important meeting where they were deciding the future of what would happen with the missions agency that's way too long for me to repeat. Andrew Fuller said this. They had another person who was thinking about going over the seas with William Carey, and his name was Mr. Thomas. He said, "From Mr. Thomas's accounts, we saw there was a gold mine in India, but it seemed almost as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" "I will go down," said Mr. Carey to his brethren, "but remember, you must hold the ropes. We solemnly engage to do so, nor while we live shall we ever desert him." And they sent William Carey, who now is known quite widely as the father of the modern missions movement. William Carey and his little band of merry men and women that fundraised sparked something around the world in Christians and really started the modern missions movement. All of these ideas of going to unreached peoples and venturing out into places where they don't speak the language. This came in part from William Carey and his small band of people, because they were focused on the Lord and what the Lord had called them to do. And because some were willing to go and some were willing to stay and not just say goodbye, but to hold the rope so that the others could go down into the mine, into the pit, into the cave, depending on which version you read. This is the call for us, and it's no less a call today, even with our modern technologies. Today, you're going to have the opportunity in the second hour to go out into the gym and to write letters to our people. You say, "Oh, we just signed an Easter card," and our response would be, "So?" We're going to have those opportunities for you to write cards and really hold the rope for these people that they know that we're still there. I think we're a little bit immunized to having texts and emails, and those are so easy to get, and they're just not as meaningful sometimes as a handwritten letter. Someone took the time to make sure that you knew they were being thought of and prayed for. And something else that's important for us as well is just because we can see what our missionaries are doing, that also means that everyone else can see what our missionaries are doing. And that places another difficulty on them that wasn't there before. We want to make sure that we hold the rope. So go in your Bibles to 3 John, and this is where we'll finish this part of the morning. Turn to the back of the Bible, 3 John, third to last book in the Bible. And as you're turning there, I do want to just remind you, parents of K through 5 kids, well, we're going to invite you to go pick up your kids and include them in the second hour of what we're all about to do together. So we wanted our families to be able to participate in this. Preschool and nursery will stay in there, but if you want to go get your K through 5 kids and include them, that'll be awesome. And we'll give you some of those options here in a minute. In 3 John, there's only one chapter, so verses 5 through 8, we read this frequently. I read this frequently when I come up here and give you updates on our missionaries. And the reason we do that is because it is so helpful to see what John thought about the interdependence of the Christian workers. Now, we're not just sending off Brian into the wild blue yonder and have a fun adventure. We're not just sending our missionaries off and then, you know, hitting a button on our phone to send support to them. We want to be connected to them, holding the rope. And so here's what John says to his readers. Beloved, it is a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Fellow workers for the truth. John Piper has said it famously and said it well. There are three options: send, or disobey. And we don't want to be those who are disobedient. We want to be those who are willing to go and willing to send. And so just in that, hopefully, encouragement for you today, we're going to sing some songs, and then we're going to go to the second hour. And in the second hour, here's what we have for you. We'd encourage you to stay. We'd encourage you to stick around and check it out. In your worship folder, you have a little kind of like bookmark-sized flyer. If you could grab that and take a look at it, this is going to be a little bit of your guide to what's happening next. In the second hour, not going to our normal classes, we will have basically three places for you to go and to participate in some of these options to hold the rope. In here in the worship center, we're going to turn this into a gigantic prayer room. We're going to have guided prayer on the screen for our missionaries. So the missions team has worked to ask our missionaries what some prayer requests and praises are, and we can pray for them. So here's what we'd like to ask you to do. Some of you will not pray out loud to save your life. That's fine. Come in here and sit somewhere and pray silently. For others, we need you to come in here and look at what's on the screen provided for you and pray out loud to the Lord all together and pray for our missionaries. You can do that for the whole time. You can do that for some of the time. We just ask that it's quiet in here and also quiet in the lobby so that we can concentrate in here. Also, we're going to open the library, and Vicky and Ben and Linda are going to be in there, and we're highlighting some of the resources that we have. Some of you have never been in that library, and today might be your first chance. And some of you go in there, and there's so many books. We have so many great resources that you've not seen some of what we have. And so what we've done is we've displayed a bunch of books and resources that are related to missions, particularly William Carey and Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor, some of these pioneer missionaries. We have books in there for kids about William Carey, and we have books in there for adults about William Carey. We have junior high level reading for some of these missionaries, and we want to show you those resources. So we'd invite you to go and browse the wealth of books that we have over there. Some of the best ways to learn how to hold the rope today are to observe how our ancestors held the rope for those that went before. In the gym, there's going to be two options. In the gym, there's going to be tables. One where you can create a magnet as a prayer reminder for your missionaries. You can make 15 magnets. You can make one magnet. We have magnets with pictures of our missionaries with their name on it. And then a piece of paper that you can either put somewhere or actually use the magnet to post on your refrigerator or somewhere so that you can pray for these missionaries. There's also contact info. Some of our missionaries are on Instagram. I don't know if you noticed, but some of our missionaries, there were using some interesting words like club and cousins, and that's because they're using code words because the place they live is a Muslim country, and they're trying to be careful with how they identify those things. But Cousins is referring to those of another faith. And clubs is referring to a place that you're sitting in right now. And when they're doing M work, they're doing things that we're talking about at this year's conference. Some of you are there with me. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That just is one way of showing what they have to deal with. And so those missionaries, you can follow them on Instagram and they post all this stuff. But anytime they put sensitive words, they either use different symbols or code words to let you know how to pray. It kind of feels like being a secret agent. So it's super fun to follow them on Instagram and do that. Others are on Facebook. Others are active in their email. And so we want you to take advantage of that. There's also going to be a place to write encouragement cards to our missionaries. We will mail them for you if you would like. We'd ask you to consider to mail it yourself as well. And so we have sheets with their mailing address on them. That one family that we just talked about, you'll need to make sure that you're careful what you put in the letter. But I believe we have a note out there about that so that you can follow those things. We'd encourage you to stay and to get involved with that. Let's sing, and then I'll release us to our second hour.